Welcome to the Nation Magazine Podcasts. You're listening to Nation Conversations, exclusive audio of Nation forums, events, seminars, and salons.
I'm Ron Carey, Managing Editor of The Nation. Welcome to Nation Conversations. This time, Ari Berman. Welcome back, Ari.
Thanks, Ron.
Ari, you're a contributing writer of The Nation and also the author of Herding Donkeys, which was published last year, right? And has just been reissued in paperback?
It was published in fall 2010 and it's just been reissued in paperback by Picador.
Good. So, Ari, you've just written an article for this week's issue called The GOP's New Southern Strategy, and it's about redistricting. Most Nation readers and listeners know that redistricting happens every 10 years after the census when population changes force Congress to change district lines according to population changes, and it's usually done by state legislatures. But this time, after the 2010 elections, there were major changes. So could you talk about that a little bit and also talk about how the Republicans prepared for those redistricting changes and what it means for politics now?
Sure. So I was looking at doing a piece on redistricting because it's such an important yet undercovered issue. And I was trying to figure out what the most important trends would be in redistricting, see if there was a theme that we could extrapolate from. And because Republicans picked up so many seats in 2010, particularly at the state legislative level, which didn't get a whole lot of attention, they have a remarkable level of control in redistricting they didn't have in years past. Republicans control 20 states in the redistricting process, and Democrats only control 7. And Republicans' gains are most intense down south, which, although it's trended Republican in presidential levels, has stayed relatively Democratic on the local level, which meant that Democrats could draw the districts in states like North Carolina for many, many years. That has now flipped to the point where Republicans basically control everything in the South. And so what I noticed was a very interesting theme is how Republicans drew these districts essentially to segregate Democrats in these majority-minority districts, turn the Democratic Party into the quote-unquote black party, make the Republican Party the white party, and by virtue of demographics, if African Americans are only a third of the vote or higher, lower, then Republicans are able to control from the local level on up Southern politics as a result. And that has a pretty dramatic impact on the 2012 election because we're talking about not only swing states like Virginia and North Carolina, but Democrats are trying to control Congress as well. And Republican control of the redistricting process gives them a major firewall in terms of keeping the Congress, not only in the South, but in the rest of the country as well.
The swing states issue is important, isn't it? Because they control redistricting in at least 5 states that were very close that Obama won in 2008, right? Virginia is one of them, Florida, a few others.
Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Virginia. They control redistricting in most, I would argue, of the biggest swing states in 2012.
So explain this a little bit more clearly, because some people might think, well, okay, majority-minority districts are fine, that's constitutional, blacks are not being impeded from voting. The strategy, as I understand it, is to pack as tightly and as many African Americans into single districts so the sort of combined voting power of the Democrats in the South, which must have both blacks and whites, right? I mean, that's the key to Democrats fighting Republicans in the South. That is diluted, and it makes blacks overwhelmingly heavily black-majority districts. So what it does also, right, is it eliminates the power of white Democrats in the South, right?
Yeah, the really important thing to remember is in the South, the Republican Party is a 95% white party, whereas the Democratic Party really is a multiracial coalition. So black Democrats can only thrive if there's white Democrats and vice versa. And what's happened in swing states like North Carolina is African American legislators have done a good job of representing districts that, for example, are only 35 or 40% black and getting elected consistently in those districts. So what Republicans Republicans did is they took those 40% black districts and they increased them to 50% or over in terms of the black voting age population. And they did that so that they would pack black Democrats into heavily majority minority districts, and then they would take out white Democrats in adjoining districts because they moved minority voters out of the adjoining white districts. So really what you have is a situation where the Democratic vote is now concentrated in a small amount of districts in states like North Carolina and Georgia. And so, for example, the speaker, the minority leader of the Georgia House, who's an African-American Democrat, her name is Stacey Abrams, she told me as the result of the redistricting plans, she's going to have the most number of majority-minority seats in the Georgia House, but she's going to have the least amount of power because they're going to take out all those white Democrats that she's been partners with in the Democratic coalition for many years.
So this really reverses something like 30 to 40 years of a gradual, slow, and painful integration process in the South. Tell me one other thing. How exactly did the Republicans do this? How did they plan for the 2010 elections, and how did they plan for the redistricting? Who did it? Where'd they get the money? How'd they actually make this happen?
Yeah, there was a group that was largely under the radar called the Republican State Leadership Committee, the RSLC. And the RSLC raised a lot of money from major corporate donors, people like the Chamber of Commerce, big tobacco companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Karl Rove's American Crossroads, and they had a huge war chest, and they spent $30 million on state legislative races in 2012, which was an enormous amount of money, and that money was then reinforced in states like North Carolina by local conservative donors. A guy by the name of Art Pope gave a lot of money in North Carolina, and that allowed Republicans to pick up these seats so they could then control the redistricting process, and once they were able to control the redistricting process, the RSLC sent their resident redistricting expert to then draw the lines in these places. So from the top down, there was a national strategy to, number one, first elect enough Republicans to control the redistricting process, then to draw the districts in a way that would be most favorable to Republicans, and then number three, to have an apparatus that would then defend those maps in court. And so we're seeing all three of those things happening right now.
So what we could be seeing is not simply a changeover to Republican advantage in post-2010, but something that could be locked in for a decade, maybe even more.
It could be locked in for a decade or even more. And the reason I focus on the South is because this isn't just pure politics where one party takes control and they draw the lines to their benefit. That's been happening basically since the beginning of the Republic. But in the South, where there's such a history of racial segregation and of diluting the minority vote and suppressing the minority vote, I'm worried that we're backsliding majorly here in terms of segregating communities, segregating states politically, and then there's this broader effort underway by Republicans to suppress the minority vote by passing, for example, restrictive voter laws and then a whole host of other measures, whether it'll be anti-immigrant measures or drug testing welfare recipients or ending integrated busing. This is all part of a larger racial strategy that dates back to the Southern strategy that Richard Nixon used to try to appeal to white voters. And that's why we called the piece the New GOP Southern Strategy.
Thanks so much, Ari. And read Ari's article, The New GOP Southern Strategy, in this week's issue of The Nation.
Thanks, Ron.
Nation Conversations is a product of The Nation magazine and is available on iTunes. You can hear more podcasts at thenation.com/audio. Thanks for listening.